Hey, great to have you guys with me today, talking about idols and middle schoolers and how cool you guys are. I want to tell you, I have a special love for middle school students. I began serving in student ministry probably 13 years ago, and I began working with middle schoolers. So I did a middle school ministry in Knoxville, Tennessee for a while, and that's where my deep love for middle schoolers began. I served with middle schoolers for 3 years there, and then moved to Louisville and served with middle schoolers, specifically middle schoolers only, for another 3 years. And then I began working with all kinds of students after that, high schoolers and college students and adults. And so I just have a deep love for middle schoolers because I think you guys are the ones who have the greatest ability to really, honestly, change the world. You do. You guys are young. You're still developing. You've got your whole future ahead of you. You've got so much influence as many of you guys begin to think about heading into high school. And what happens now, what begins now in your life, really will set you guys on course to change the world. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. But I do want to introduce myself. I am Ronnie Parrott. I have a wife named Marcy. And I have two children in the back. Jack, wave. He's peeking in the window. There he is. That's Jack right there. He's three. And Anna Kate is probably eating her shoe. She eats her shoe. She's one on April 2nd. So she'll be turning one. And my wife is actually pregnant again. And she's due May 12th. So we'll have three kids, three and under, which she's really excited about that. She is. She really is. So anyway, we are very excited about that, and we love kids, we love children, and it's just a blast to be at our house. Our house is full of lots of snot and poop a lot, so I'm sorry about that. It's just how it is at our house. It's just babies bring those things, and they sleep a lot, eat a lot, poop a lot. That's what we say. So anyway, all that aside, that's with middle schoolers, you've got to mention pooping at least once. I'm sorry. All right. Hey, I've got two stories I want to tell you today. Briefly, before we actually start, and one of them has to do with me getting injured in a skiing accident, and one of them has to do with me getting injured on a swing set. So which one do you want to hear first? Skiing? All right. We'll do skiing first, and I'll do swing set later. What? Okay. Skiing first. All right, listen. Ski story. My first skiing trip, I loved to ski, okay? I grew up, like, water skiing. I was a very good water skier. I spent half my summers on the lake. And then I moved up here about 8 years ago. Some friends of mine convinced me to go snow skiing, and it was the first time I went snow skiing, and I thought, can't be that hard. It'd be a good transition, water skiing to snow skiing. And it was. It was flawless. It was great. Got there on a Saturday morning at like 11, skied the whole day. It was like 6:30, getting dark. We're about to leave, and my friend said, hey, let's go down one more time. And I said, okay, I'll go one more time. No problem. And so they said, this time, let's go over here. And we snuck off away from everyone else. Like, there's like thousands of skiers over here, and no one's skiing over here. Now, let's go over here. There's got to be something fun over here. And so I said, okay. So I went over here, and they said, follow us. So I said, all right. So I'm back in the line, and I start going down the slope, skiing with my friends. And they're headed to this, like, big old forest of trees. And with a big sign that says, slope closed. Or trail closed or something like that. And I'm thinking, okay, we're going to probably go to the right of it or to the left of it. And my friends are like, hey, let's go this way. Like, straight towards it. I said, are you guys sure about this? They said, yeah, no problem. So we buzzed straight for these trees. And I thought, I mean, I can't duck out of this or I'll look like a pansy. And I don't look like a pansy in front of my friends. So I follow these guys and I go into the woods. And it is a clear trail, clear about 2 feet. 2 foot trail there, and I'm thinking, goodness, this is scary. So I'm skiing down through here. I'm acting cool about it, and I'm hanging in there. I'm like, oh, this is great, no problem at all. All of a sudden, the trail shoots out, and I thought, oh, okay, I got to shoot out too. So I go to shoot out. Well, my friends go. I'm in the back. My friends go, and I go to shoot out, and my skis slip and they fall, and I fall on my back. Okay, and I'm like buzzing. Okay, I'm it's pretty steep. I'm going pretty fast, and I fall on my back. And I'm not stopping. I'm sliding, like, really fast. I look over my shoulder, and there's a tree coming my way. And I just slam into the tree really hard, so hard that it like unbuttons my hoodie, on my hood on my jacket, and goes on down, and I just black out, okay? And then I wake up, like I swear it was like probably like 4 or 5 minutes later. I'm like, what is going on? And I stood up, and my left arm could not move. And so I get up, my left arm can't move, and I grab my ski poles, and I ski it the rest of the way down, and my friends are just waiting on me down there, like, what's your problem? What's going on? Why? And I just look at him and I said, shut up. I was so mad because I had fallen and they led me somewhere where I didn't really want to be. And so I had to get on the slope. I had a brace on my arm. I wasn't married at the time, so like, you know, I wore the brace only when like girls were around so that I could, you know, so they'd feel so sorry for me. But that's the only story. That's one story. The other one's much funnier, but it has nothing to do with anything else. Just want to tell you a story about me getting hurt. Hey, seriously though, let's pray and then we'll get started today, okay? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you so much for the opportunity to hang out with these students for a little while. God, I pray that you would teach us, that you would challenge us. Lord, that you would open our ears. God, I pray that in this room you'd raise up many students who would take a challenge to go to the ends of the earth for you, to stand strong in all situations, in all circumstances, God, that they would be faithful to you in all things. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, I have a wife named Marcy, and I love her very much. She is a great joy, and I'm sure all the husbands and wives in here, all your adult leaders would agree that they love their spouses, and I do. She is very, very sweet, and she loves me. I love her. And selfishly, I just want to say selfishly, I don't know about you guys, I love to be loved. Like I like it when people like me. I like it when people like compliment me. I like it when people say nice things about me, the way I look, those kind of things. I like that. It just makes me feel good inside. The truth is, every one of us do. Every one of us likes that. That's why girls, that's why you get up in the morning, you take your shower, your like hour-long shower, however long you take, and you get out of the shower and you fix your hair the way you like it. Some of you guys, you spend like 45 minutes just spraying your hair down with hairspray, or you get those little braids out, you braid your hair, or you what are those things called? The little headbands. That's an easy word. Headbands. Put your headbands in, and you spend there and you sit there and you fix it the way you like it. And then you get, my wife has this stuff. It's just like nasty stuff. It comes in like round things and like with brushes, and she gets it and she just throws all this business on her face. It's called makeup, you know what I'm talking about? Like all this makeup, and you get your little lipstick on, you put it on, you look all pretty, and you get yourself just the way you like, so you can go out so everyone will look at your face and think, wow, she is pretty. So you do this. Girls, you do this. You put your outfit on. You have a certain set of clothes you like, a certain brand you like, and you put those on. I know the styles have changed now since I was in high school, and there's like skinny jeans and all these things going on. You put those on, and you go out, and you look all pretty. That's what girls do. Isn't that right, guys? Yeah. Guys, we don't do that, do we? You bunch of liars. You do too. You are a bunch of liars. You guys get up and you take your showers, you get out and you get your super sticky, icky hair gel business and you put it in your hair and you mess it up real bad and you stand in front of the mirror with your shirts off and you try to flex. I know you guys do. You try to make yourself look all cool with your big muscles. And you sit there and try to like make yourself look like you have abs, but you don't. I know you do other stuff. You do it. And then you get out. And then, you put your clothes on. And whether it's like your t-shirt that was brand new but looks really, really old. Or like you pop your collar on your shirts and you put your cool hoodie on. You put your cool baggy jeans on. And you stand in front of the mirror and you look around thinking, man, are them girls going to think I look good today? Are they? Because that's what you do. Guys do it, girls do it, because we have a deep desire in our hearts to be loved. We all want to be liked. We don't want to be not liked, disliked. We want to be loved. And our hearts are prone to prop ourselves up to make ourselves look good. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's good to look presentable. It's good to look pretty. It's good to look nice. We certainly don't want to be walking around like a bunch of slobs. We don't want that, but it's a good thing. So why is that? Why is it that our hearts are prone to do this? The truth is, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but like in pop culture, a lot of the songs you listen to and a lot of the TV shows you watch will tell you, You just got to follow your heart. You got to listen to what your heart tells you to do. And when you listen to what your heart tells you to do, that's what you do. That's what pop culture, that's what music says, what all these things say. But the truth is, the Bible says something totally different. The Bible says that our hearts are evil above all other things. So like, that is totally counter-cultural. Culture says, follow your heart. The Bible says, don't follow your heart. Your heart is evil. It will lead you astray. It will lead you to things that do not matter. Don't follow your hearts. So, our heart tells us to elevate things that are unimportant over God sometimes. Let me ask you, what are some people in our lives or in culture that are important to teenagers? What are some people that you could say are physical, personal types of idols? Name some random people.
Bands.
That's right. Bands are. Who else? Artists, musicians. That's right. Some of the cool ones right now are who? Who are some of the cool musicians right now? That you two. They've been the cool band for a while. It's crazy. All the adults are like, yeah, they are. Who else? What are some cool people right now in pop culture musicians? Who?
Justin Bieber.
I see that guy's name everywhere, and I've never seen him. Who?
Casting Crowns.
Okay, what about this chick that everyone knows? And guys, don't even say you don't know her songs. I know you
Taylor.
Do. Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Taylor Swift. Like, that girl has already created her whole style of clothing. Like, all these girls wearing dresses and cowboy boots that go together. That's just weird. Does not go together. Like, all these... There's also, like, guys, athletes. You know, we have all these athletes we like LeBron James, all these guys that are physical, personal idols that people will put their money into, put their resources into. Sports teams. You know, every week there are arenas packed out with thousands and thousands of people who dedicate their lives to their sports team. They wear their shirts for their sports team. Their room is their sports team. They know all the stats to their sports team. That is a type of idol. That's a type of religion for some people. And week after week, they go to arenas and they shout and they cheer their team on. And if their team loses, they're mad and they're angry and they're all upset about it. And they spend their whole week disappointed because their team let them down. It's a type of idol. But in our culture, there are some things that are very important to us, to natural people that aren't necessarily physical people. What are some of those things that are very important to certain people? What? One of them is green. And has presidents' faces on it. Money. Money is very important to people. The American culture says you are to get a good job. You are to get a nice house. You are to work hard at your job. You are to get promoted. You are to save your money. You are to build up your accounts. You are to finally, whenever you get a chance, you are to get to be millionaire status. And then you die and it just all disappears. And sometimes you work work very hard to get all this money, and all of a sudden you lose it all and your money's let you down. You know, one of the top types of people who commit suicide in the world are corporate executives. Corporate executives are one of the top types of people who commit suicide because they lose their money, and the god that they've put their money into is money, and when they lose all their money, they're left with nothing. So they commit suicide because they don't know where else to turn because the god let them down. Other things, beauty. Beauty. Our culture says you are to look beautiful. Our culture says you are to, if you don't like your body, you're to fix it. If you don't like your face, you're to fix it. That's what the culture says, and God says something totally different. God says, you don't do that. God said, I made you. I have a purpose for you. I formed you in your mother's womb. You look like you do because I wanted you to look like that. So we have these different idols that are vying for our hearts. Other things, position, status. How many of you, don't answer this, but how many of you, just think about in your head, wish you were someone else in your school? How many of you in your school wish you had a different status, or you were with a different type of clique or a different type of group? Just think about that for a second. Because there are people all over the world wishing that they were someone else, or they had different giftings, or they had different cultural background. So they had a different family. There are students wishing their parents weren't blue collar and wish their parents were wealthy and rich so they could have anything they want. And that's a type of idol, wishing you had a certain status. Another very popular thing in American culture is this idea that Jesus is safe, that Jesus is someone that looks like us, that wants us to succeed in the American culture. There's this idea that Jesus, that the Jesus of the Bible looks more like the Americanized person. And when you take the Jesus of the Bible and you make him into someone he's not, you have created a Jesus idol. That's not Jesus. It's someone that looks much safer than who Jesus actually is. So we need to be very careful. These things aren't necessarily bad things. Money's not necessarily a bad thing. Beauty is not necessarily a bad thing. Popularity is not necessarily a bad thing. An idol is a good thing that becomes a God thing. It's a good thing that becomes a God thing, therefore making it a bad thing. That's very important to think through. Here's a few thoughts about the heart. When we talk about the heart, it's very important to think through the heart because the heart is very, very crucial to who we become in the future. Every heart is a worshiping heart. First thing, every heart is a worshiping heart. All creation is created to worship God, and only God, the God of the Bible, is worthy of our worship. All creation is created to worship God, and only God is worthy of our worship. There are nations across the world who are worshiping false gods. There are people in America who are worshiping false gods. And these people are going to die without Jesus. Because they're putting their hope, they're putting their time, they're putting their focus on the wrong thing. And we need folks like you all, students like you, to take up the call, to leave it all behind, to follow Jesus, to make Him your all, and run toward that and show others how to follow Christ. If you were to do that, middle schoolers, if you were to do that, the world would be set on fire by a group of students who would take the gospel, be focused, be dedicated, and run hard after Christ. So, you must understand what worship looks like. Worship defined. An idol is anything that we consistently make equal to or more important than God in our attention, desire, devotion, and choices. It's anything that you consistently make equal or more important than God in our lives. In other words, let's think about all the time you have in your week, all the time you have in your week, where do you put the most of your time? Let's just think about that. In your week, let's say you have school, 7 to 3, and you come home. So from 4 to your bedtime, 9, 10 o'clock, where do you spend your most time? Family's a good thing. Time with the Lord is a good thing. But do you find yourself wasting a lot of time on things that don't matter? You guys are like, uh-oh, sound like my mom and dad. Stop it. Seriously, where do you find your time? Do you find your time in front of the TV? Do you find your time in front of the video game? Do you find the time in your sports? Think through that. Those things are helpful to identifying what exists there. Not worshiping God alone equals self-worship. So the question is, where is your time divided? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? It's okay to play video games. It's okay to watch TV. It's okay to do those kind of things. Just in moderation, we want to be careful on where we're spending our time at. We want to make sure that our time is equally given out to the things that we're dedicated to. But all these things that we're doing, video games, sports, and everything, need to be done under the umbrella of what? Being a Christian. Everything we do in life needs to be done under the umbrella of being a Christian. Therefore, when you do sports, you're not taking it and elevating it above your Christian life. You're taking your sports and thinking through how you can live out the Christian life in your sport. For instance, we're called to be evangelistic. We're called to tell other people about Jesus. Right? Right. So you need to think through, how can I use my sports Or how can I use my video games whenever I put on my headset to play Halo or Call of Duty or whatever? When you put those things on, immediately you are in connection with you know, lots of people in the world that you could have influence with. So therefore, you need to be careful what you're saying on the headsets on these games. And you need to think through strategically how you can build relationships with the people that you're playing this game with and interacting with, so you can eventually, maybe, get in a gospel conversation where you tell people about Jesus. I know you're thinking, wow, I never thought about that before. Everything we do, we need to be thinking through how we can, under the umbrella of our Christian life, influence others to follow Christ. That mindset helps keep you from an idol. Having that mindset keeps you from having an idol. Understanding that everything we do has influence with other people. So, all that said, first thing, every heart is a worshiping heart. Second thing, the heart is the vehicle of worship. The heart is the vehicle of worship. The heart is the real you. The heart is the real you. Okay? You have a persona on the outside. People look at you and say, oh, this is John. I know John. He does this. He lives this. He loves this. Oh, I know Laura. She's this, this, and this. That's the outside appearance of you. But the heart is the real you. So like, when it comes down to things you fight for, what are some things you fight for? What are some things that make you angry? Think about these with me. What are some things that make you angry? Huh? Healthcare bill. Okay, that's very political. What about this? Are there times where like it makes you angry when someone maybe gets noticed before you? Maybe your parents treat your brother or sister differently than they treat you. Or maybe you don't like it when you're called to obey mom and dad. You think about these things, and you think about these things that are in your heart where anger arises from, or where selfishness arises from, or where, you know, frustration comes. That right there shows you the real you, that you have a desire in your heart to act like you deserve something. So think about that. You act like you deserve something. And the Bible's very clear that we don't deserve anything. I know, it's like hard to think through. The Bible says that we don't deserve anything because we have sinned against God. That we sin against God, we disobey God, we lie to God, we run from God. And those things cause us to be broken, to be separated from God. So we don't deserve anything. But the Bible says that God loved us so much that He gave His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin. And when Jesus did that, you know, He opened up the way for us to come to Christ. If we confess our sin and we believe and trust in Christ Jesus, that we give Him our lives. So we still deserve nothing, but out of God's kindness and grace and love, He has given us everything. So having that mindset that we deserve death, but God's given us everything in Christ Jesus, to understand that makes you to think through, man, I was destined to hell, but because of Christ, He's given me eternity. And when we give our lives to God, that means we take a back seat, that God takes over. That means our lives are given to Him to follow, to trust, to obey. And so when we come in conflict with some of these desires of our hearts, it's showing us who the real us is. And we need to, as believers, as Christians, we need to fight against that, and we need to say, I don't need to be angry about this. I need to trust the Lord. I need to obey mom and dad, even though I don't want to, because our hearts are going to rebel against Christ, and we need to consciously say, I've given my life to Jesus. I don't need to fight against this and run hard. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The heart is the real you. The heart is the temple of worship. 1 Corinthians 6 says this, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, from whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. That we are temples of worship. that when we become Christians, God gives us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to give us power, to give us strength. So we need to trust in the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We don't need to let idols come in. We need to reject frustrations and angers and desires to elevate ourselves up above other things. So the heart is the vehicle of worship. And thirdly, the heart is the fountain of behavior issues. It's the fountain of behavior issues. Mark 7:21 says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." All sin flows out of the heart. So to trust your heart would be to trust in sin. We need to, every day, be checking our heart motives and asking ourselves, what is coming out of my heart? Is it evil? Is it pure? And how do we reject it? Especially as middle schoolers, because listen, you all, you middle schoolers, there's so much fighting for your attention. There's so much. Satan is after your heart. He's going to do everything possible to try to, detract you and take you off course. He's going to try his hardest. And so you need to every day be making sure at your young age to be spending time with the Lord. I'm telling you this, if you would really take your walk with Christ seriously at 11, 12, and 13, if you really would, and you really were to say, hey, mom, dad, or hey, youth pastor, youth leader, hey, I want you to hold me accountable. I really want to take my walk with Christ seriously, and I'm going to do my devotions every day. Or I'm going to do my devotions 4 times a week. I'm going to do my... Just make it something on your plate and say, hold me accountable. If you were to do that at a young age and develop that habit and that pattern and make a promise to God, I'm telling you, there is no limit to what God can do with your life. No limit. And I'm telling you, I wish I had done that. I had challenges in my life to do that, and I never took them up on it. And I wish I had it. I'm telling you, if you did that, I think you would be so much farther ahead than many of your high school friends in the next few years. Spiritually, I think you would. Third, there are many terms for sinful heart worship. There are many terms in the Old Testament and New Testament for sinful heart worship. In the Old Testament, words such as craving, we have a craving for certain things. Idolatry of the heart is what Ezekiel 14 calls it. When you have a craving for something that you really want, it's a clear indicator of your heart. Like, for instance, I'm going to confess some sin right now. Be open and honest. In our house, we have a TV. And it's really one of those new cool-looking TVs. They're changing the shape of them now. They're going to make these big box-looking ones that they go really, instead of the flat panel, they're going to go back to these really big fat ones. There's big square boxes. They're really cool. You guys got to look forward to those. I'm just being sarcastic, clearly. I have this 27-inch box TV, and it's got little fuzzies that go across the screen, and it kind of sometimes goes in and out. It's really neat. It's really cool. And I look at it every day, and then I sometimes while we're in Target shopping for baby thing, because we do that a lot, we're in Target like 3 times a week, getting diapers and stuff. I stroll through like the entertainment section. And I check out these, 42-inch flat screen, 1,048 PI, whatever, TVs. And I look at them, and I just think, man, that would look so good hanging on my wall. And then I try to figure out, deceitfully, how to convince my wife that we need one. Honey, I've been thinking about this for a while, and, our TV, it's just shot, it's just going in and out. I think we really need to consider maybe getting a 1080p, 42-inch TV. And I continue to get the same sarcastic laugh over and over again, where she just busts out laughing and says, honey, we don't need that big of a TV. We can do fine with a 27-inch box TV again. They're much cheaper. My wife's like super spiritual, and she'll say things like, there's starving kids in China that probably could use the rest of that money. Super. So yeah, like that's a sinful desire. I covet like the biggest and best stuff. We just bought a minivan. Okay, don't make fun of me. We just bought a minivan, and I wanted the top of the line, and she once again, hey, we need to go middle ground. So we did. We did go middle ground. I won a little more, but it's okay. So yeah, you know, when you think about these things, a craving of your heart. What's a craving in your heart? That's one of the words the Old Testament used. New Testament used words such as lusts. A little more precise words such as enslavement or entanglement. When it comes to idols, we don't think about this. We don't think of things such as enslaved to something or entangled in something. And let's be sensitive here. One big issue in our culture for enslavement and entanglement is food. Is food. And not to single out the ladies in here, but specifically, there's, you know, a lot of ladies struggle with either, you know, eating a lot or not eating enough. And food is a type of idol. I have someone very close to me in my life who struggles with eating a lot of food. And she's open about it. And she confesses it. And she's in continual mentoring. Not my wife. My wife, she's not. But someone else that we know. And so, like, don't go to my wife and be like, hey, I heard you're addicted to food. She would not like that. She's not. But yeah, so food specifically is a difficult issue, especially when it comes to girls, because of the whole beauty scene in our culture. And so you need to be very careful of food. There are, in the Old Testament, there are gods that were like the food gods. And there are gods who were like the money gods. And though those physical presence don't necessarily exist physically, but they're still alive in our culture. There are gods of money and gods of food that are vying for our attention and our affection. And they're all working for Satan to deceive and detract us. Other contemporary labels for idolatrous lust that can be self-serving. Approval from man, from other people. Approval. Attention. Health. Wealth. Pleasure. Safety. Comfort. Leisure. Sports. Security. Significance. Respect. Fairness or justice. Success. Possessions. Freedom, independence, money, ministry, education, marriage or family, traditions, perfectionism, workaholism, control, appearance, love, peace. There are people in our world who are calling for peace and giving their lives for peace. And we're never going to have peace until Christ returns. And so peace, although it's a good thing, can become a God thing, and that's a bad thing. And so we need to think through, what are some core idols in our lives at young ages, such as us? What are some ways that we can recognize idolatrous lusts as middle schoolers? There are, in 1 John 2, you can read it later, there are three specific avenues of categories that we give our lives to. One, lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes, when you're coveting after things, when you're desiring a particular position or status. Lust of the flesh, when you're wanting food to desire you, or when you're wanting other types of selfish pleasures, like you just want to rack up all the money you can so you can spend the last 20 years of your life on a beach somewhere in Hawaii. Like that's selfish pleasure. That's going against what Christ has called you to do. And just because we were tired doesn't mean we go into hiding and enjoy the rest of our lives on earth. No, the mission still exists that we go and tell people about Christ. And the third thing is the pride of life. The pride of life. This will destroy you. Pride will destroy you. Thinking you're better than other people will destroy you. Guys, if you play sports, you know this. You want to be the best. You want to be the best at it. You want to be arrogant. You want to be confident. You need to be careful, because it will destroy you. Pride will destroy you. So you need to be very careful checking your pride. And fourth, it's helpful to recognize idolatrous lusts. Helpful to recognize idolatrous lusts. And we'll stop after this one. A desire, sometimes it's good and in itself, becomes idolatrous as I am consumed with it for my own benefit. Something I wrote out. a desire becomes idolatrous, it becomes an idol, as we are consumed with it for our own benefit. So when you take something that you really like sports, and you say, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to give my life to my sport, I'm going to practice a lot, I'm going to become the best I can, and I'm going to go into college football, I'm going to work hard in college football, I'm going to prove myself, and then I'm going to go pro, and I'm going to spend my life in pro football, I'm going to make all this money, I'm going to be traded to like two or three different teams, I'm just going to be the star quarterback, I'm going to get the hot wife, I'm going to be the man, people are going to look at me, and then I'm going to have all these little middle schoolers and high schoolers who are going to follow me and ask me for their autograph and yada, yada, yada. That's dangerous. It's not what you were called to. Now, you got guys like Timmy Tebow. Timmy Tebow, can I get some fists in the air? Timmy Tebow, listen, I'm not saying this because I'm boasting that I know the Tebows. Okay, I do know the Tebows. But hear me out here. I spent 3 weeks in the Philippines with Bob Tebow and Peter Tebow, Tim's brother. Okay, I didn't get to go with Timmy. I was bummed about that. But I did go with Peter and Bob. And their family is incredible. Their family loves Jesus. And they're going to give their lives to Jesus until they die. And if you talk to Timmy Tebow, you don't have to talk to him. You can look at him on TV. And you can see what Timmy's all about. True? True. He doesn't hide it. He's bold in declaring the message of Christ. That's who you need to be. You don't need to be Timmy, but you need to be someone who's bold at declaring Christ in whatever field, and wherever you go, whoever you become. It's not about you, but it's about Christ. I'm telling you, middle schoolers, you do that now, and God's going to use you to do great things. I'm telling you, you are. Bob Tebow was training his kids up to be that. Timmy took the challenge when he was in middle school, when he was much younger. So did Peter. And I encourage you guys to do that, to follow Christ. So, a desire becomes idolatrous as you are consumed with it for your own benefit. That's James 4 says that. You can read James 4. It's incredible. James 4, 1 through 10. Write that verse down. James 4, 1 through 10. Read that. We're going to focus on another text here after lunch. You know what? I like it so much I'm going to read it, actually. James 4 says this. You can turn there. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? He's saying you're getting angry. You're fighting against each other because your passions are at war within you. You want some things for yourself instead of for the Lord. Verse 2, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. He's saying there are things inside you. You desire things that you can't obtain and you're getting mad about it. You covet things that you can't have. You want things that you can't have, so you're fighting for them. You do not have because you do not ask. Verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that Scripture says, quote, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is a clear warning that we are to not be consumed with our selfish desires. We're to find contentment and hope and trust in Jesus alone. Here's some sure tip-offs for idolatrous lust. If you want to know if you have something that's vying for your affection for the Lord, if there's something in your heart that's fighting against following Christ and loving Christ in your all, here's some sure tip-offs. Words. What are your expectations in life? What are your needs? What are the things you just feel like you need? There are some things we want, and there's some things we need, but there are wants in our life that we feel like become needs. Like, oh, I just need a new cell phone. All my other friends have cell phones. I don't have a cell phone yet. I'm the loser with no cell phone. You don't need a cell phone. You just want a certain status. You want to look cool. You want to prop yourselves up to look like somebody else. See how that works? So your motives, what are your needs? What are some rights you think you have? I have a right to have my own privacy in my room, Mom and Dad. You don't deserve to come in my room. It's not your room. It's your parents' room. What are some must-haves? Secondly, what are misplaced priorities or extremes? Are you a perfectionist? Do you work overtime on making yourself look extremely good? Are you a workaholism? Do you work a lot? Are you unfaithful to your friends just so you can get more status with another group of friends? Misplaced priorities or extremes. What are some sinful patterns in your life? Do you find yourself lying a lot? Do you lie to cover up some things so your mom and dad doesn't find out? You know, lying is one of the main ways you can tell if you have an idol. Because if you're lying to cover up sin, you're cherishing trust in yourself over trusting God to work out the details of the truth. When you lie, you're saying, God, I don't trust you to deal with the punishment I deserve. Therefore, you trust yourself. And lying is really neat. You know how, like, when a person stands before a judge and they make them swear, I promise to tell the truth. Yeah, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Have you thought about that? The truth is this, okay? The whole truth is not like this much of the truth. That's a lie, okay? When you only tell a little bit of the truth, it's still a lie. You know, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. It's like when you exaggerate the truth, it's still a lie because it's not this. The truth is what is really true. What is exactly what's going on? God calls us to be honest, and He calls us to trust Him in all things. So, like, if we're afraid, oh goodness, if I tell the truth, my parents are really gonna hurt me, God, so please help me not have to tell the truth. God knows. We need to trust God that our parents are in our lives to help us. We need to trust God to let Him work out the truth, the lie. So lying. What are some other life-dominating sin patterns in your life? Do you make fun of other people a lot? Do you pick on other people a lot? Do you make fun of the way people look or dress? If you do that, that's saying that you are better than somebody else, but you are no better than anybody else. So you need to be careful on these sins. And what are some sinful responses you give? So you got to look for sinful responses. Anger. Self-pity. Depression. Suicidal thoughts. You need to think through these things. What are some tip-offs to your idolatrous lust? When people say, oh, you look good, do you say, oh, you don't have to say that about me? I mean, seriously, thanks a lot, though. I do look pretty good. I mean, that's a tip-off that maybe you're a little idolatrous about yourself. You need to be careful on some of these things. Lastly, beware of your introspection. Beware of your thoughts about yourself. The detailed mental self-examination of feelings, thoughts, and motives. Like, what are some selfish thoughts you have about yourself or some selfish motives? If you ever find yourself saying, man, there's a group of people over here that I'd really like to be noticed by. If I wear these clothes and maybe if I swing by their group one day and actually accidentally drop something and say, oh, hey, how are you? Just so I can be noticed. That's you got to be careful of your selfish motives there. If you try to figure out ways for other people to notice, like say you have, does anybody in here have a Twitter account? Anybody? Okay, good. How about Facebook? Boom, all these people have Facebook. Okay, Facebook. If you find yourself thinking through ways that you could post things on your Facebook account so people will comment on it, okay, what can I write so that I can get some comments so people will start commenting about what I'm saying. If you find yourself doing that, that's an idea that maybe you're after the wrong motives. So you want to be aware of your own thoughts, your own feelings, and your own motives, selfish motives behind certain things. We just want to make sure that we're not justifying our actions, that we want to be honest and lay everything out before the Lord and say, Lord, look, and I'm a middle school student, and I am young, and I just want to learn from you, God. I want to be able to make an impact on this world. I pray you help me do that, God. Help me just to be humble and walk through life and trust you and walk with you. If you do that, if you have a humble attitude and live like Christ, He is going to bless you. He's going to help you. I tell you right now, there may be some of you in here today who feel like you're not loved by many people. I'm telling you right now, there are leaders all over this campus right now who know you, who came with you, who made a trip to Louisville with you, who sit in those services with you, who go to bed at night praying for you, who meet with you every Sunday morning, and they love you dearly. And there are so many of those people that you know, those adults, who pray for you every week. And they pray that you would take the call to be single-heartedly devoted to Christ seriously. And they pray for you, and they pray for your hearts, and they pray for strength, and they pray for help, and they pray that God would just capture your heart in an incredible way and use you to do incredible things for Jesus. Let me tell you this. That's the prayer I pray every night for my son and for my daughter. Every night when I go to bed, I'll either pray it alone, or I'll go and kneel beside Jack's bed, and I'll pray for him, and I'll pray, God, the son you've given me for about 20 years, 18 to 20 years, God, I pray that you'd stir his heart, that he'd follow you at a young age, and God, I pray that you would use him to go all over the world and tell people about Jesus, that he'd take this call seriously and make a difference in this world for Christ. I pray that prayer every day for my son. And I know there are leaders who pray that same prayer for you too. And I pray you would do too.